The 1-900 Wrestling Podcast is brought to you, as always, by everybody who supports us at patreon.com/1900wrestling. If you would like to be part of the coolest Discord, the place to watch live wrestling with people who actually give a shit and not just people who are looking to kvetch and bitch, then head on over to patreon.com/1900wrestling. You will immediately be linked in to our Discord. If you're unfamiliar with Discord, it's basically just a big, fat, hairy chat room. We also got voice channels. It's a fun time. It's a place where I like to go and talk to 1-900 Wrestling fans. It's small. It's intimate. We love it. Come join us. Support the show and get something out of it yourself by going on over to patreon.com/1900wrestling. But enough of talking about how we do the show. What do you say we just do the damn thing?
I want you to call me for all of wrestling's latest news and views. I've been involved in wrestling for 35 years, and nobody knows wrestling like me. Remember the number,
1-900 Wrestling.
Stupid idiots.
They call me Horror.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
Oh, welcome everybody to 1-900 Wrestling, the best wrestling talk show in the world. This is your old pal, Justin Robert Young. I am going to be a solo. It is a solo 1-900 right here this week because Dills is still MIA here in old Las Vegas. I have not talked to Dills in a week. That man is spending a week in Las Vegas. Too long to be living in Sam's Town. Too long to be down there at that bar, the Winchester Bar. Oh, that's a place where life can be drained out of you. So we're gonna have something a little bit different here this week. I'm gonna be doing the heavy lifting. I'm gonna be talking about some of the news of the day. Big time in wrestling. Some people coming back. Probably going to be on the show tonight. We do this show before Raw, so we are doing all of our kind of pre-week of wrestling. This is the go-home show for Survivor Series. We got a couple rumors out here. Maybe some of the people that were thought to be on their way out of WWE, not out of WWE after all. We will get to all that. And we're going to do something on this show that we don't normally do, and that is take live calls. So, here's the deal. And by that I mean deal and not deals. You can go ahead and give us a call if you are watching live on our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/JustinRYoung at Justin Robert Young on Skype. Go ahead and give me a ring. Justin Robert Young on Skype is how you get in contact with the show. And we got a great little live audience here watching us. We've had a few people say they're going to call in. You are welcome to do it whenever you want. But let's go ahead and get started here with the news. This is her house, after all. And despite the fact that it has certainly not been in her name for the past year, Paige is allegedly slated to return tonight on Monday Night Raw, emanating from Charlotte, North Carolina. You know, the issue with Paige is, well, she's Paige, right? It's never been the issue in the ring. In fact, you could say that there's almost no doubt that Paige's best work is in front of her, right? Like, that's not in dispute. She came up to the main roster before all the NXT women that wound up having better matches that she had were in NXT having the best matches of their career and redefining women's wrestling. She was kind of backburnered and turned into a heel effectively to get Charlotte and Becky and Bayley up to... it's not in Charlotte. It's in Atlanta. It's where Ric Flair lives now and not where he used to live. So maybe we'll get a Ric Flair sighting. That's an interesting idea. Screwed that up. It's in Atlanta.
I got bros in Atlanta.
One of those broads apparently is Paige. She is waiting at the arena, according to spy shots. Now, it's no guarantee that she's going to be on the show. I mean, there are rumors that there might be plans for her to go on to the Survivor Series card. And if that's the case, if they want to make a splash there, then they can. But otherwise, it'll be curious to see what they do. Because who is she set to match up with? I mean, you've got a lot of interesting matchups there that we haven't seen. Like, we haven't seen the way it should be done, Paige versus Sasha. We have not seen in any form Paige Bailey. We have not seen Paige Asuka. Is Paige ready for Asuka? Because I'll tell you what, I'm getting kind of goosebumps right now just thinking of the stare down of Asuka's crazy ass and Paige, who is legitimately crazy. I don't know if Asuka's legitimately crazy. But I know for a fact that Paige is get too drunk, throw a glass, what'd you say about my man crazy? Like, that is without a doubt, like, Paige is call the police crazy. So I'm excited about that. I'll tell you what, that would be great. I would love to see that. And of course, we're only ever a Vince McMahon hop away from seeing her match up with Becky and Charlotte and Carmella and Alexa Bliss, of course, the champion there on SmackDown. For whatever reason, my Alexa's going, oh, because I said Alexa Bliss. Alexa, shut up. Lucky Phil in our live chat here says, how's her ring rust? Apparently, yeah, she's been at the Performance Center for weeks now, getting her up to snuff. The rumor was she was initially going to go to SmackDown, where I think she'd probably be a better fit. But I kind of feel like that SmackDown women's division is sort of in a holding pattern and kind of has been. I would assume that it's kind of a holding pattern past Survivor Series, because I don't think anybody believes that Natalya is the long-term champion, right? You know, there's I don't think anybody would believe that Natalya is one of those people that I genuinely think, I do, I genuinely believe, is like one. You know what the problem is? There are not many girl gangs. And when they try to do them, they always suck. Because ultimately, Natalya, like her father, Jim the Anvil Neidhart, is almost the natural heavy in a girl gang. Not the talker, the heater. Somebody that could come in, deliver like some sort of brutal thing. I mean, she's stout enough. She's a great enough wrestler. She can toss around a smaller wrestler. The problem is that, like, she's just too goddamn goofy. You know, there's only so seriously I can take her. And you want to know what else? For whatever reason, she is, like, the worst person on the planet to do what has only become more and more popular over the recent years, which is talking mad shit in the ring. She is bad at it, legitimately bad. And y'all know it is a staple of this show. We don't like to just go off and talk a bunch of mad nonsense about people. We like to focus on the positives and not the negatives. Here's something that I will definitely say. Natalya's bad about her in-ring talking. Who's good? Kevin Owens is good. Kevin Owens might be the best of yelling things in the middle of the match that are interesting, further the story, and are oftentimes funny. For whatever reason, Natalya's not that. She's just like, yeah, you think you're strong? It's like, you don't need to say that loud, right? What are you doing? I don't know if she ever does that. I don't know why, for whatever reason, in my head, Natalya is just like a little rascal. She's just like, no, you smell. But I don't know. All right, here's something that I did like from last week's television. Speaking of the SmackDown women's division, They did a legit intergender tag or an intergender match, right? I didn't think that that was ever going to happen. I thought that was that there was no possible way that they would ever do anything intergender. And I thought that even when they announced the Ellsworth SmackDown thing, that there was going to be some schmoz to it, or there was going to be some, you know, she like just taps him out in 5 seconds. But I'll be good goddamn if they didn't roll Ellsworth's no chin. He looked a little portly, by the way. Ellsworth, compared to when he was doing the Dean Ambrose AJ Styles stuff, which let me also retroactively say might have been some of my favorite wrestling television of all time. That initial reboot of SmackDown with Dean on top, AJ as the heel, was great. So good. I loved it. I mean, that was when The Miz and Dolph Ziggler were initially doing their stuff. And then the Ellsworth thing was just such a fun way to just carry a feud forward before WrestleMania season. And then, of course, everything winds up going haywire after that. But they bring Ellsworth out. They tune up the sexism, right? They let him get old Bobby Riggs. Although God knows if anybody knows who the fuck Bobby Riggs is these days. They called it the Battle of the Sexes. And they let them actually go at it. And really, the only problem is that Ellsworth, when Ellsworth's not wrestling against AJ Styles, who can literally wrestle the broom, you know, he wasn't as good. He was kind of exposed. But it was fun. It was great. That crowd loved it. It was awesome. Lucky Phil here in the chat room says that the mixed match challenge trademark was filed on the November 3rd. Went into the trademark system on the 7th. Looks like they're getting into more intergender matches or events. That'd be really interesting. You know, I almost wish that they would codify, like, you know, what the summer tournament is going to be. I think that would be something good. All right, here we go. We got a live call here. He is the maestro of our Melodica challenges, joining me on the 1-900 Wrestling Show. It is Trey Warren. Trey, how you doing, buddy?
Just had to do a little intro music for myself.
There we go. Yeah, we're only dropping the change on the table short for your intro. That was so amazing. Fun. How you doing, Trey?
Good, man. I'm going to see NXT this week. And I haven't watched anything NXT in months. So who should I be on the lookout for? Anything I need to check out ahead of time?
Well, let me ask you this question. Which NXT show are you seeing?
Going to the one in Austin. So one of the minor ones.
Because you do know that apparently the greatest wrestling day of all time is happening in San Antonio on Friday, right?
Yeah, so this one's Thursday, and then we got a killer Wrestle Circus card on Saturday too that I might head out to.
Well, I'll tell you what, we can get into that in a second, because there's actually great news about wrestling on Twitch that we do need to get to. But all right, so you haven't seen NXT, obviously. Have you in their previous incarnations? Did you catch at Wrestle Circus Red Dragon and Adam Cole?
Oh yes, yeah.
So obviously, then you know that they are great.
Yep.
You know, I don't know. Do you know what the card is?
I know nothing.
I would assume they're probably wrestling close to the War Games card. Well, here's what. Have you ever seen Aleister Black live?
I don't believe. I don't know. I don't think so.
If you have not, if you don't remember, you haven't. And if you have not, you need to, because Aleister Black is. You know, I've said before that Aleister Black is my Undertaker. I love Aleister Black. I think he is fantastic. I think that he just, for somebody that it takes big swanging low hangers to make a Nosferatu entrance look legit. And I will say this about Aleister Black. That dude makes it look legit. I don't think that we have seen close to what Aleister Black is capable of. I think that Aleister Black, the only reason why he would not get a long run with the NXT title is if they call him up to the main roster early. And ultimately, I think that what I would love to see is just more character development. But right now, the feud that he's in with the Velveteen Dream, I think is great for both of them for this reason. It makes Aleister's character a little bit more pliable, where it doesn't have to be weird druid monk murder somebody with hard punches to the face, right? And kicks to the head. And it makes the Velveteen Dream seem a little bit more real. So I think it's a great, it's almost like an acting exercise for both of them to stretch their range a little bit to see how each of their characters, how does the very goofy Velveteen Dream deal with the very serious Aleister Black, and how does the very serious Aleister Black deal with the goofy Velveteen Dream? So I would say those two, and hopefully Heavy Machinery is on your card. I have seen NXT Live plenty of times, but I've never seen Heavy Machinery live, and they are one of my favorite acts on television. Have you seen any of them, Trey?
I have not, no.
Two thick, and I don't normally people spell thick, T space, H space, I space, C space, C space. I think you need to add a couple more spaces and a few more C's.
that's not enough C's for him?
Not enough C's, baby. You need more. I need two CC stat to get to describe Heavy Machinery. They are great, and they just are oozing personality. In fact, I would think they would probably be the champions if it weren't for the fact that they were tuning everybody up for War Games. Because they seemed kind of destined for that, and then ultimately I think they realized that they had to flip. They had to do some face and heel flipping a little bit. And, you know, Authors of Pain drop the titles to Sanity, who are suddenly faces. And now Authors of Pain are kind of faces because they're teaming with the Messiah of the Backbreaker, whose name escapes me right now. But Roderick Strong for War Games. But I would say those are probably the highlights, as well as just realizing what a big bastard Drew McIntyre is. That guy is just great. But I'll tell you what, go look at your card, and I would say, you know, go check some of the TV for NXT. I haven't watched full episodes. I've just kind of hopped around to matches that people are talking about, but they are they're in a bit of a zone right now. Everybody's kind of clicking on a higher level, and I'm almost to the point where I think that they're at kind of a point where they're going to have to expel some of these guys to the main roster because it's almost too crowded. It's kind of like it was, you know, when Finn and Shinsuke were kind of overlapping with Samoa Joe and all that, and Sammy was still on the roster.
That's the last time I was actually watching any NXT stuff.
I would say get back on it because also, you know, they lost Asuka, and I don't really think that women's division has missed a beat. You know,
no, that's good to hear. Yeah.
In fact, I think that Asuka probably and not with any fault for her own, you know, was almost artificially kind of tamping down how ready some of those women were, because Nikki Cross is one of the best. You know, the iconic duo are great. Kiari Sane is amazing. NXT is in a great place, a legit great place. And I think you're going to have a great time because those house shows are fun.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll hear all about it. Dills is coming with me if he ever can get out of Vegas. So.
I mean, listen. You might need to pawn that. You might need to sell that ticket out there in the parking lot, man. Like, I don't even know if Dills is alive. In fact, if it weren't for Mitzula's Twitter, I would be sure that that Dills is dead. I think Dills is dead. In fact, I want everybody to go on Twitter. Go on Twitter right now and just say @reply. Did Las Vegas kill you? Because I think the 1-900 wrestling community, the dialers of the 1-900 wrestling community is worried. Because I don't think any man, this isn't about Dills. This is about any man being able to be in Vegas and not live there. Like, you need an apartment where you can go back to where normality can set in. If you're just down there in that, man, he's just at that Winchester. I'm worried for him. I feel like I might. In fact, you want to know what? I'm going to text him right now. I'm just going to text him and just say, all right, well, Trey, thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah, yeah. Later, man.
All right, listen, I'm just going to text Dills. I'm just going to say, Willie Dills. Hey, man. Recording 1-900 right now. And everyone wants to know if Vegas killed you. All right, I just texted that to Dills. Hopefully we will find out the answer to that as we continue to go along. Clench 0043 is, wonders aloud if Mitsula is pulling a weekend at Bernie's with Dills. Quite possibly. Quite possibly. We do not know. All right. Let's see what else is shaking. Well, you know, we talk a lot about Wrestle Circus here on this show, and we are obviously big supporters of live wrestling on Twitch. We love to keep the word out on it. Huge card this week for Wrestle Circus, so we are highly recommending everybody go ahead on over to twitch.tv/WrestleCircus. Make sure that you throw them some bits. You give them a follow. You get that free wrestling. If you want to support independent wrestling, specifically independent wrestling on Twitch, keep this free. Because, all right, you want to know what? I'm going to break this down. It ain't no secret that my wife works at Twitch. I don't have any inside knowledge on anything. But I'm gonna spin a little yarn here. Because what we are seeing right now is the copycat industry of professional wrestling going through a bit of a sea change. So initially, the way that the WWE made money, the way that WCW made money, the way that ECW made money was pay-per-views, right? Live events and pay-per-views. So you have this resurgence in independent wrestling. Now, all of a sudden, you got a lot of these guys that are out here on the independents that are making a big splash, right? Hell, I was just this Friday down there at the Cow Palace, a venue where Starrcade was took place. I believe it was Rowdy Roddy Piper and Hulk Hogan, prime of WCW in one of their golden ages. That took place right there in the Cow Palace, South San Francisco. But on Friday night, it was home to All Pro Wrestling. That is California's independent wrestling. And I'll tell you what, headline match was Juventud Guerrera, Rey Mysterio Jr. versus the Lucha Brothers, Penta El Zero M, and Rey Fénix. Great show. Awesome show. Indie wrestling is alive and well. But I'm going to tell you what's happening right now. WWE went to a live streaming service, and then all of a sudden, a couple of these live streaming services popped up. These subscription streaming services popped up. Some of them, I'm not going to name names, but some of these guys did not do so well. Some of them realized that business model was not going to work. A lot of people who subscribed to it realized that they weren't exactly getting their money's worth. So you have a player like Twitch that comes in. And yes, my wife works there. And yes, it is impossible for me to say that I'm not biased. But I do believe that this is the future of independent wrestling. For this reason. Wrestling is and has always been the performance art for the people. It has always been dependent on children and adolescents to power and energize its base. What do children and adolescents not have? Money. The WWE can get away with doing an over-the-top streaming service because the WWE is a global brand that can continually advertise their streaming service on free television, essentially free television, cable television. They can get paid to advertise their network in front of millions of people weekly. An independent wrestling over-the-top service will always suffer from the fact that they can't get their message out. That literally, the timing in which they will be able to advertise their product is already behind a paywall. So you are essentially just asking for the literal randomness of, and I'm just going to name people because a lot of these people show up on Twitch. I think Ethan Page, who I love. I think Ethan Page is great. He just showed up on Impact. Mazel tov to Ethan Page. But you're going to say, all right, I've heard so much about Ethan Page. I want to pay for a monthly recurring service so I can watch him? Really? And I know that we're all here to be support indie wrestling, hashtag support indie wrestling. But let's just be honest. Let's just be real. You need to have free viewers. You need to have a random person having their interest piqued. Because wrestling as a storytelling art form, just from this stupid schlub watching from the opposite side of the ropes, is a interest first, pay for the payoff later business. Now, indie wrestling's a different scene because you don't put on many shows. But I'll tell you what. Tommy Dreamer, he's out here right now doing what only Tommy Dreamer can do, being a luminary of wrestling's most popular era. With House of Hardcore, he is out here on podcasts. He is out here in interviews, on television, on radio, wherever he can talk about it, saying he is bringing House of Hardcore as a weekly show to Twitch. That matters. Because like I said, wrestling is a copycat business when it comes to business model. And now you're seeing right now, now Impact's got their own over-the-top service. Now ROH is going to debut their own over-the-top service. Now I think like Powerbomb TV made a deal with Smart Mark Television to do a more robust, independent streaming service. And that's cool. But, and again, you know, Twitch and therefore Amazon pays for my health insurance. I'm streaming on it right now. I cash a check from Twitch based on the stuff on this channel. But, you know, I'll tell you what. If you think that Twitch is the future of independent wrestling, then go ahead and throw some bits right here in this chat room. Just toss a bit. Throw a bit. And I'm gonna leave the audio on so people can hear in the recording. Just toss a bit. Toss one bit in there so it does the bling. And everybody else will be able to hear it right here. While we wait for that, we will go to some breaking news. Here we go. 100 bits from Jack Devaney. We have news from Dills. Good news and bad news. Good news, he's not dead. Look at that. Spin Dash with a bit. Look at this. I'm making money just talking about things. Listen, come on. Indie wrestling. Bring your shit to Twitch. Bring your shit to Twitch. We got bits here. Here's the bad news from Dills. I wish I was dead because my brain hurts that badly. Vegas is not, you're not meant to live at the Winchester Bar. You're not meant to live there. Look at this. We're getting bits in left and right. Left and right. Look at this. All right. I believe in it. Let's see what else we got here in the world of wrestling. Jack Swagger. I'll tell you what. Jack Swagger was on that Cow Palace card that I saw on Friday. He had a... sorry. Here, I'll just leave it on. Fuck it. Jack Swagger had a match with Jeff Cobb, the current champion of All Pro Wrestling. And now he's going to be joining Bellator. But first, let's go ahead and hear from one of our favorite folks here, the 1-900 Wrestling community, The Buck R.I. How you doing, buddy?
What's going on, buddy? Brother me softly.
Yeah, tell you what, as we softly brother. What's going on, buddy?
Oh, just calling in. Scooping another podcast heat here, but the W this week is going to be for Where's Dills? Goddamn, pal, Where's Dills?
Where's Dills? I mean, but Where's Dills? Come on.
Where's Dills? Where's Randy?
Listen, I knew my friend Willie Dills. There's a reason why he couldn't go to BlizzCon, because you can't do BlizzCon and then just follow it up with 7 days in Vegas. I'm sorry.
Well, no, I mean,
the human body can't. Yeah, the human body can't handle it.
Of course not.
I mean, it's only because Dills
is crazy.
It's only because Dills is made of all that is man that he can survive 7 days in Vegas. You know, as it is anymore. I mean, come on. That's just insane. All right.
Well, Dills did that touring life. So, you know, maybe you built up a tolerance. Anyway, we're digressing.
Impossible.
Here,
impossible. So. All right. Well, what's got your ears peaked in the world of wrestling?
Well, let's go back to what you were saying there about, you know, the independent scene.
Yeah.
I agree 100%. It is fantastic that, you know, on Saturday or any time, I can just turn on Twitch for free and watch all these independent wrestlers that I've been hearing so much about.
Yeah.
You know, Wrestler Circus is getting a ton of buzz for that very reason. You know, and out here we have Beyond Wrestling.
Yeah.
And they're based out of Providence, Rhode Island. But they lost their venue because their venue closed. So now they're bouncing around in Worcester and, you know, outside of Boston and that type of stuff. But they're on, like, they have their own service and they're on Powerbomb. It's like, you know, guys, I want to help you, but I can see these people. I mean, I went to a show last month, and it was, you know, Tessa Blanchard, Mia Yim, Deonna Purrazzo. It was a women's show, but it was all these wrestlers that I'd seen on Twitch.
Yeah.
Or on the Mae Young Classic. And I'm going, you know, if I could see them for free, well, you know, no, and support them there, then that's what I'm going to do.
But that's the thing. It's like, I'll go see him live, and maybe if I'm in love with a promotion, I'll go ahead and pay for it.
Right.
But in general, you're not going to get new people in like that.
Exactly. And, you know, it's also the issue where, okay, you know, WWE, $9.99. Netflix, $9.99. Hulu, you know, if everything's $10, then, boy, you better have a lot of content if you're asking people to pay your promotion $10. You know, it's eventually it all adds up. So
and you know, the utility for a WWE network is tremendous. You know, I was on the way to the Cow Palace to see that Rey Mysterio Juventud Guerrera Lucha Brothers match, and I'm sitting with the homie Gabe, and we're in the Uber on the way there, and I'm like, hey, you want to know what? Let's watch an old Nitro. So I queued up an old Nitro. We're watching an old Nitro, and guess what? There is a Rey Mysterio Juventud Guerrera match against La Parca and Psicosis.
Because of course there was, but yeah, it's just.
But you want to know what? That is something that the WWE Network, because they have that tape library and because they have a history with you, can do. Because you want to know what? You are paying for library with the WWE Network. You are not paying for it when you are talking about some of these indie networks. And listen, I'm all here to see these people get paid. But let me make this point. When we were doing the Friday Hype Train, which is a Hearthstone stream that I do on Twitch.tv on Fridays, Buck is a part of, it's a fun
Never
time.
Never heard of it.
We had somebody call in that is an independent wrestling referee in Tennessee. And I was like, all right, well, and he's been so for years and years, right? I'm like, if you were to name just, from your perspective, somebody who's just been involved in independent wrestling, what are the biggest independent wrestling outfits? He was like, APW in California. I forget what the other one that he named. Oh, like AIW in Cleveland, AAW in Chicago, and AWG, Wrestle Circus.
Maybe.
And Wrestle Circus. So it's like, well, how did Wrestle Circus get on that list?
Twitch. It's a very simple answer.
In a year. Like,
they're getting eyes on the product, bro.
Well, no, and to be totally honest, as much of a Twitch homer as I am, it was Reddit before it was Twitch. But they know that the idea of selling, they went away from selling their shows pretty early on and started giving them away. And then they found Twitch as a better place to give it away. You know,
and I would certainly say, I think we're both in 100% agreement, it's working for them because they're getting a lot of buzz.
Now, who knows how much money they're making?
That's the other side of the equation. Is it paying off?
But you know, I don't know. I mean, they certainly are building amazing cards month after month, and I can only wonder because they are getting a lot of their homegrown talent over a lot more. And luckily, Texas has a scene where you could have people come on. But you know, look, like we said before, Tommy Dreamer is going to do a weekly wrestling show live on Twitch every Wednesday.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. I'd only heard a little bit about that. That's great news.
Yeah. You know, and that's and we're going to see where that goes. We're going to see whether or not having an independent wrestling show go weekly matters. Whether or not it can be something special when you have a platform that gives a rat's ass about you. Because here's something else. You know, and this is going to get a little bit more into the weeds. Welcome to when Dills isn't here, Justin just rants and raves about Twitch. But there was a story today about YouTube saying, yeah, we're going to start investigating non-ad revenue options for our creators. Now,
they got to compete is what that means.
Well, no. You want to know what it really means? We're never going to get our shit together when it comes to the ads. Like, we don't care about independent creators. The advertisers, all they want to do is advertise on Jimmy Kimmel and whatever the hot viral video from The Tonight Show is. They would prefer to not gamble on your stuff, and it does not matter whether it is. I mean, hell, one of my friends or a friend of our community, Bill Duran, is a prop maker. That man made a prop video about building a prop and bringing it to BlizzCon that had its monetization knocked down. So you're going to tell me if YouTube has no interest in getting their shit together on that, and a prop video gets taken down, you're going to think that you can build a wrestling business on YouTube?
Well, they are.
Come on.
Took out half the wrestling business. You know, that's where a lot of people were, and YouTube hit them all with C&Ds and all this other nonsense. So isn't that why places like Wrestle Circus have gone to Twitch in the first place?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, because I don't know what the internal dialogue is for them. But here's what I do know. Twitch doesn't make the majority of their money on ad revenue. Twitch makes the majority of their money selling their front page. And, well, I'm guessing this is how they make, because I don't know for sure. I'm going to guess that they make the majority of their money selling their front page and taking a rake on subs and bits.
Yeah, they're getting the VIG.
Which means,
you know, to borrow another term.
Yeah, which means they just want more interaction. That's what they want, you know, because they take the rake on that. So their business model is in a different position, which means that if you're an independent wrestling promotion, or I'm telling you what, I'm just waiting for the first act, the first wrestling, you know, wrestlers or wrestler to really take Twitch seriously, because I think that is really where it's at, to really create your own community and get yourself booked and create behind the scenes content. Man, I think there was a tweet the other week of the Young Bucks saying, "Hey, would anybody interested in us doing a Twitch stream?" And then Kenny Omega retweeted it. Like,
yeah,
if
you put one or all three of those guys on there, they have the wherewithal and the savvy to pull something like that off.
I think they
could nobody knows how to promote themselves better than those three.
I think they could be big guy.
They would be absolutely huge. One thing on the Cow Palace, I believe another, and it ties into obviously the late great Eddie Guerrero. I believe that's where Eddie beat Brock for his title.
Indeed, it was at the Cow Palace, and that show ended with all four men in the ring. Pentagon Jr. cut a promo in Spanish that I had to ask Gabe to translate for me.
Oh, all right, yeah, that makes sense now. Of course,
but said, you know, he doesn't respect anybody in this ring. He doesn't respect if his mother stepped in the ring, he doesn't respect her, but he respects Eddie and Juventud. And then they all four of them in the ring, had all the crowd on their feet, not a dry eye in the house when they, shouted out Eddie Guerrero, who, by the way, passed away 12 years ago.
Boy, time flies. I remember that like it was yesterday. So
I'm just glad they're not dying like they used to, man. You know, that was.
Yeah, it was. It was. I mean. That was what Shoemaker used to do, Dead Wrestler of the Week.
Yeah.
You know, it was because it was a guy every week. It got really bad, you know. So fortunately, that seems to have slowed down, you know, certainly hasn't outright stopped, but.
Well, I mean, I do think that stuff did change the business a little bit. I mean, you look at, half these guys are, you know, the quiet video game kids, right? They're all, you know, if they're up all night, it's playing Mario Kart.
Powell, we used to go out. And I can't do it. I'm doing Vince. I rarely want to do a Kevin Nash, but, you know, yeah. We used to go out and have a bunch of sodas.
Yeah.
You know, or,
well, you know, or you just watch. I'll tell you what. This will be an interesting time to talk about the Nature Boy 30 for 30. We can kind of go out on that. What did you think of the Nature Boy doc, Buck?
Absolutely tremendous. And I know you had a take on it that it wasn't a wrestling doc. It was, I'll let you say it because I'm going to get it wrong. But just a tremendous episode. I only wish it was longer. You could double that and I'd be interested. I understand why you have to, you know, you have to condense 30, 40 years into 90 minutes. It's a real tough ask, but I thought it was fantastic.
You know, I'll tell you what. Somebody find for me the Deadspin article that David Bixpanian did about, if I'm saying his name right, I'm probably butchering it. Sorry, David. About how the documentary glossed over all these sexual assaults of Ric Flair. Because I agreed with him, but I didn't think it was the point. Because...
No, that's not that was the point. Well, I can see why you would think that, especially with everything else that's going on right now, how that, you know, and it's not an invalid take, but I don't think that was the point of the doc.
Well, and also it's like, listen, I think the point of the doc is that Ric Flair is a piece of shit.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I don't know how much you need to gild that lily, you know? Ric Flair is a troubled son of a bitch.
Yeah, I mean, Triple H, you know, probably his best friend in the world telling him that, you know, Ric Flair is a liar, straight up looking, you know, directly at you saying that. It's, you know,
not only does he look him dead in the eye, and say that he's a liar, he says that his negligence, caused the death of
his son.
Like,
he's not wrong.
And also, by the way, and here's something else. That for whatever reason got lost because I was listening to the Pro Wrestling Sheet. Big shout out to Ryan Satin and the Pro Wrestling Sheet podcast. I was listening to them and they're like, I didn't think there was a lot of stuff that we didn't know. And it's like, how about Triple H looking dead in the camera and saying we fudge health tests? Like,
that's an interesting point that I certainly caught, but it just kind of. You know, just kind of went past and went, you know, you basically admit that, yeah, well, we're going to try to, you know, get this guy through, but this test is so bad we can't fudge it.
Well, and beyond that, the tests are what I think most reasonable people have thought that they are for, which is you have a problem if I tell you this is happening on this day and you can't, for the sake of your career, make the test okay.
Like, to be fair, don't they do that in other sports, though? Like, they basically tell baseball or football players, hey, we're testing you on this day. Make sure you're clean by this day, type of thing. I may be getting that wrong.
I believe
the NFL does.
Competitions that. Have a little bit of a different onus on them than professional wrestling does, which is a performance, you know. But this is more for like, hey, look, we're gonna test you. We're gonna test you here. You're gonna come back dirty. By the way, we're only gonna test you if we think you have a problem, right? So you're probably gonna have to do some shit that makes us think that we should test you, and then. We're going to test you and say, hey, look, I know you've been telling us that you haven't been doing this shit, but guess what? Your test came back dirty. And if you say, oh, no, I swear to God, then they go, all right, next week. And also, or like he said to Flair. I mean, anyway, so this is the article. ESPN's 30 for 30 on Ric Flair glorifies decades of sexual misconduct. David Bixenspan. And like, man, this is not to say that Ric Flair has not done more fucked up shit. And if we're going to get on Louis C.K. for backing women into a room and jacking off in front of them, then there is certainly enough stuff that Ric Flair has done that fits criteria that is similar, if not worse.
I don't think there's any dispute about that. And I'm pretty sure every Flair fan out there news these stories.
And also, by the way, the book Ring of Hell claims that Flair made a habit of lifting waitresses' skirts and saying, just checking, honey, you know what they say, no hair, no Flair. Woo.
Oh, boy.
Now, the other thing that they glossed over they start talking with, the athletes and Snoop Dogg about how important Ric Flair how much Ric Flair is held up in the specifically the athlete community, the African-American athlete community. You know, that there is on the record stuff that Ric Flair might be a little bit of a racist. He's at times, you know, he has been known to say some things that might edge on the line of racist.
It was a different time excuse, but
I mean, this is even from Jay Lethal. Jay Lethal has said, loved Ric Flair, does the great Ric Flair impression, that Ric Flair had a weird kind of interaction with him about that. But here's ultimately what I want to say about this documentary and what Buck just said when he first came on, or we started talking about it.
Yeah, I know you threw it in a tweet.
Yeah, listen, this is a documentary about the lies we tell ourselves. And it is that much more heightened because wrestling is an industry where, you know, you lie for a living, like acting, right? And specifically in Ric Flair's era, there was a seduction to that. But ultimately, it's the saddest father-son story since fucking the Cats in the Cradle and the Silver Spoon, you know?
Yeah, it is. It's tough, you know, and then to see, you know, out of character Charlotte talking about, you know, where she is now really because of her brother's passing. And, you know, it was brilliant, but it was very sad just to see all that stuff go through. And then I don't know if you saw the ride along on WWE Network with Charlotte and Rick, and it's the most uncomfortable 10 minutes that I've seen maybe on the network. It's really tough to watch.
Yeah,
if you haven't seen it, it's well worth your. It'll take 10 minutes of your time. It's worth seeing, but boy, is it! It's really tough to sit through.
So here is apparently there was a big complex did a big compilation of racism in wrestling after the Hulk Hogan stuff broke.
Oh, this should be interesting.
And so their Ric Flair part was Teddy Long told a story. Quote, Teddy Long got targeted for racism when he was working in NWA. It was right out in the open. In the interview, Long claims that Ole Anderson called him a hard R directly to his face and that the Nature Boy approached him backstage and said, "Hard R, do you like working here?" Flair is heavily rumored to have replaced Hulk Hogan on Tough Enough. But if Long's claim is true, then Flair isn't that much of an improvement. Yeah, man. Hey, look. I'm just going to let, I know that this is a weird situation, especially with all this sexual assault stuff, all this racism stuff. I hate to break it to everybody, but there's been some sexual assaults and racism before people started covering it on Gawker, you know? And it turns out that Gawker was 3 years ahead of the New York Times.
Well, if you want to go back further, people are always ahead of stuff. You know, I heard PX3 earlier. Drudge was supportive ahead of everybody with Clinton. So,
well,
people get out in front of stuff.
They do. All right, Buck, are you looking forward to anything this week in the world of wrestling?
Obviously, Survivor Series Sunday. That is this Sunday, right? Christ, can never. Right, Survivor Series is Sunday.
Yeah, Survivor Series is Sunday. Home. NXT TakeOver on Saturday. Although, by the way, allegedly, next year, we're not doing so many goddamn pay-per-views.
Thank goodness. It's too much. How all this great independent stuff, all these WWE, how the hell is anybody supposed to watch all this stuff? And, you know, nobody has time. So, I heard that. I was very happy that, oh, good. You know, give us a little bit of a break. You know, absence. Less is more, and especially with this stuff, slow it down just a little bit, and people will get more interested. And when you got a pay-per-view every 2 weeks, it's, you know, that's why I'm legitimately going, wait, it's this Sunday, right? Because after a while, your head starts to spin, like, okay, is it, who's wrestling this Sunday, who's off, what's going on? I can't keep up. And then, you know, War Games Saturday should be good. Yeah, there's some good stuff coming, and, I got to get tickets because Raw's coming to, you know, the City of Lights, Providence, Rhode Island, a week before Christmas. And I got to see if I can get a cheap ticket and sit up in the nosebleeds and watch some WWE wrestling.
Look at that. All right. Well, cheers. Thank you so much, Buck.
Yep. I'll get out of your way. Take it easy, Jerbs.
Peace out. There we go. All right. I will begin to wrap it up. Here we go. Let me give a shout out real quick. Big shout out to the boys at cultaholic.com. I encourage everybody to go right now to cultaholic.com. Go follow their YouTube. I am very, very, very much in admiration of the fact that they are rocking and rolling. They obviously leaving your job that you're successful at to start a business. I did it about 2 years ago. And, man, it is not easy. It is nerve-wracking. And then for them to have to part ways with their most popular talent before their launch was certainly a problem. But I was watching, Ross from Cultaholic, the former King Ross, do his WTF moments. I'm rooting for him. I'm officially hardcore rooting for him. So go follow Cultaholic. I just got all the admiration in the world for them. Otherwise, we will do the Melodica Challenge next week when Dills is back. Dills will be back next week. Very, very, very excited for that. Which means then we are at the end of our show. If you would like to support the show, then head on over there to patreon.com/1900wrestling and kick in just a little bit of scratch. Become a part of our Discord. I'll definitely be hopping tonight. Bunch of big returns tonight. Roman Reigns. slated to be back. Maybe some surprise returns. We will see. Big SmackDown. Go home. Probably going to set up that that Shield versus. Oh, we haven't even talked about that. Shield versus New Day. I'm pumped for that. That thing's going to tear the goddamn house down. Dude. I'm excited. Survivor Series is going to be great. War Games is going to be great. Wrestle Circus is going to be great. Apparently, anybody who's in San Antonio, go see one of the two greatest nights in wrestling history between ROH and NXT. But until then,
I want you to call me World of Wrestling.
My name is Justin Robert Young. This is 1-900 Wrestling. Until next week,
be
dialing 900 Wrestling. Stupid idiots.
They call me Hot
Rod. If you smell what The Rock is cooking. And his name is John Cena. Well, look at this prima donna.
Thank God Donald Trump's a whole idiot.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Oh, yeah, and also, AJ Styles is the new champion, and he's facing Brock Lesnar. What the fuck?